Should ATMs have facial recognition? 500,000 orders of Starlink have been ordered. Yahoo Answers ends, but there's another site. And tech anniversaries, including the Transcontinental Railroad. All that and more next on The Computer Doctor Show.
You're listening to The Computer Doctor Show, your source for technology subjects affecting your business and personal life during this new normal. Your host is an award-winning office technician and IT specialist, author, tutor, ethical hacker, and recent winner on localbest.com as the best computer shop in Tucson. Broadcasting live, here's Aaron Moss.
Hello, Tucson and the podcast world. Welcome to the Computer Doctor Show, episode 43. I'm Aaron Moss, your host, and we're glad to have you with us every Saturday at 2 p.m. right here on KVUI 1030 The Voice. We post all of our shows and bonus content on computerdoctorshow.com. Again, computerdoctorshow.com. Our open lines, 520-790-2040. Feel free to call in anytime with your comments and questions. Co-hosting me with me today, Rob from the Unscrewed Theater.
Good afternoon, Aaron. Good to be back.
All right, excellent. And we have a great show for everyone listening today. Here's some of our top tech news stories this week. Here's a question. Should ATMs have facial recognition? What do you think, Rob?
Oh, I just envision this being like a Mission Impossible thing where there's a market for those masks you peel off that make you look like someone else so you can use other people's ATMs.
You know, that's an excellent point. But here's the thing. There is this company called OCBC. They operating out of Singapore. And what they're doing is they're trialing this system that has this facial recognition. So what you can do is you can pretty much just go up to your bank and I guess put your face in front of the ATM. The ATM will automatically know who you are, or I don't know if you have to push buttons in conjunction with it, and you can get your balance. Your balance, you know, right there on the screen. Right now it's still in the testing phase, so you can't actually get money just yet, but they're only getting a balance, only for balances, but you can't get cash just yet. So currently it's just for account balance, and the technology can tell the difference. You know, if you hold up like someone's picture, like in front of there, let's say you try to like move it around, you know, make it look alive or something, the camera is smart enough, they can tell. They can tell if it's a live person or a video or even a picture.
Yeah, well, got to have some 3D technology there to see a difference between something flat versus a real face.
I think AI has come so far, and I don't think that obviously they have already had this idea that someone is going to do that or someone's going to do. I mean, I try to do that with my phone. You know, I take a picture of my face with my wife's phone and I put my face on her phone. And then I try to facial recognize my phone to see if it will unlock, and it doesn't unlock.
Yeah, mine doesn't either. We've all tried that. That's fun.
So if your iPhone can tell the difference, obviously these highly secure ATMs probably can tell the difference as well. 500,000 orders of the Starlink internet have been ordered. Starlink is the low orbit internet service that runs on low orbit satellites, and it's available mostly in North America and Europe. So there's been a demand of 500,000 orders so far. Now, a lot of these people have not even gotten their equipment. They've already paid $500, and now they're still waiting for this stuff, this equipment to arrive so that they can install it. So there's a lot of people that have already put up money. And I think, the people at Starlink, they're actually pretty clever because just do the math, okay? 500,000 people times $500 each that have already paid. Okay, you're probably looking at about $250 million, mm-hmm. And you haven't done anything yet. Well, I'll say this: they've put up a lot of satellites.
Yeah, launching 1,000+ satellites is something.
Yeah, that probably ate up the $250 million that they got from the advance payments. But it's nice to know that the Tucson zip codes, right here in Tucson, zip codes are among those that can order. So if you're a person that lives in some of these far out places, we can think of people in the upper Northwest or some of the areas where our radio waves are reaching that may not be have a very close-knit community where it's very hard to run phone lines, hard to run cable lines, internet lines, this might be a viable option. So you can go to starlink.com and see if this is something that you can do with Starlink internet service.
And if you'd like to see them, you can go outside tomorrow night, Sunday night, about 8:06, between 8:06 and 8:10, 8:12, somewhere there. They'll be making a pass across the northern sky. About a third magnitude star, which is about as bright as third magnitude satellites, about as bright as the stars in the Little Dipper.
And, okay, so what Rob is talking about, so stars, so you could actually see some of these satellites.
Naked eye, no telescope needed.
No telescope needed. So if you look up in the sky, what, tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night, about 8:06 p.m. is when it starts and goes to about 8:12 roughly.
Okay.
They'll be moving from the west to the east across the northern sky.
Okay. I'm looking at a picture of it right now. Seeing lights in the sky, meteorologist George Torres has likely explanations. So the SpaceX Starlink satellites are going to be crossing our skies tomorrow night about 8:06. And you can see it with the naked eye, and you're not seeing things, but you're actually seeing satellites repositioning themselves or getting themselves into their proper location as to where they're going.
Yes, if you look at them a few days ago, they've been much closer together, but now they're more spread out. So just a few days, you can see the difference.
Excellent. Now, also, last Star Wars Day, May 4th, was also the last day of the Yahoo Answers service. I don't know if you've ever used Yahoo Answers, Rob. I loved it, and it was something that I use. It's really cool setup that they had. Basically, you're just a community of people that have these logins, and you just post a question, and people just go ahead, they research it, or if they happen to have personal knowledge of the answer of your question, they just post the answer. So you can ask, you know, almost any question, and within a few days, you'll have some really, really good answers from people, you know? So but here's the thing. It wouldn't be a fast answer. It would be an answer that you would probably have to wait several hours for. It would be an answer that you would have to wait several days for. But it was an excellent service. And the more answers that you answer, you could ask questions or you could also answer other people's questions. And the more questions that you answered, you would get these points. And then you would, and since the adding of the points, now it's like a contest between other people, you know, who can get the most points, and I'm the most know-it-all person here.
The gamification of knowledge.
That's what it was. But, you know, I'm not sure exactly why they decided to discontinue. I personally have not used it for a while. But just like Yahoo Answers, the questions are categorized. So I would always answer questions about technology, questions about computers. At the time, you could also even vote for the best answers. So if you are in need of a forum to ask questions in the community-type knowledge platform, without Yahoo Answers, there's another website called Quora.com. Have you ever heard of Quora?
I've heard of Quora. I haven't used it, but I've heard of it.
Quora is an excellent site. It's spelled Quora.com. They also have an app, and so you go there, you sign up, it's free, and basically you can read people's questions and read people's answers of you know, what kind of things people have, you know, kind of come up with, you know, and all this information that's out there. So it's a really cool site. Is there a question that you ever wanted to get the answer to? Maybe we can just throw it up on Quora.
Oh, yeah. I just fear about the conspiracy theorist that would come if you ask a question up there sometimes. That's my first thought.
But here's the thing. You can tell if an answer to a question is going to be really, really out there. And if it doesn't resonate with the idea that you had when you asked the question, like, for example, if you ask a question and you're looking for a real answer, but then there are people that are just blurting out just silly answers, you know, they're not going to get thumbs up, and they're not going to get good ratings. And as a result, they're not going to get the points of giving quality answers. And that's what a lot of people are on here for. You know, they're here to get points, and the points don't mean anything. The points don't really have any. It's kind of like Who's Line.
Yeah.
Yeah. The points don't matter, but you know, but the idea that there are points there.
They're like virtual milk bones, virtual treats for doing something.
Yeah, so you go off of it kind of feeling better about yourself. We're going to take a quick early break here. Up next on the Computer Doctor Show, some tech anniversaries and as time allows, some online protection 101s. Our open line, 520-790-2040. You're listening to the Computer Doctor Show. We'll be right back after this quick break. Stay tuned.
Perfect Look Photography is a photography business that serves individuals, families, wedding parties, children's parties, quinceañeras, and family reunions. We also do headshots for actors and model portfolios. We photograph all types of events in Tucson and communities in Pima and Santa Cruz counties. In addition, we provide more types of photos than any photographer in Tucson, including green screen, art photography, montages, and DVD slideshows. We provide great photos at great prices. For more information or to get a quote, please call 499-4209.
Solar is popping up all over town. Why? Because solar just makes sense. Say goodbye to expensive summer electricity bills. Call or text Julie Festerling at Icon Power, 520-307-1013. Avoid the new 7.9% price increase with the utility company. Call Julie at 520-307-1013. Icon Power will help you take control of your electric bill. Ugly Goose Car Rental is new in Tucson, providing a low-cost auto rental alternative for just $100 per week. The only catch? The cars are ugly, but very safe and reliable to get you to work, school, shopping, and all your important appointments. To reserve your $100 a week car rental, call Ugly Goose Car Rental at 520-261-0439. Again, 520-261-0439.
Computer Doctor of Tucson is the best choice in desktop support in Tucson. They fix error messages, power and boot problems, install of software and hardware, and much more. You can come to them, or they can come to you, or even have a remote support session so they can fix your issues over the phone quickly. Give them a call at 261-5508, 261-5508. Visit them on the web at ComputerDoctorTucson.com. Computer Doctor of Tucson, because technology is great when it works.
Welcome back to the Computer Doctor Show. A special shout out to Charles Heller, my radio colleague, and Patricia. We were able to take care of some computer stuff this week. Speaking of Charles, he's actually on line one. Hi, Charles.
Hello, Aaron. Yeah, I love giving referrals. She wrote me a glowing text about the way you took care of whatever technology problems she had. And kudos to you for paying attention and listening to people and finding out what they need and providing it. I'll bet you're darn good at it. I gotta have you do some stuff for me.
I better be.
Yeah, you better be.
Because, yeah. You know what? People can call in and they can voice their bad experiences with me any week that they can. So as long as I'm doing this show, I have to be on top of the game here. So
yeah, well, the delay is only 7.5 seconds, so you know.
Yeah, we have a good guy on the button here.
Yeah, we do. I just a question about Starlink. In order to prevent global warming, is the Starlink satellite system going to be seeding the clouds with Teslas?
I don't think they will be. No.
Well, there is a Tesla Roadster floating around out there.
Yep, that's from the first Falcon Heavy launch. And although just an interesting thing, there is a U of A professor, Roger Angel, who has proposed something called Brilliant Pebbles, which would be a series of small little reflective satellites around Earth to reflect sunlight if global warming got really out of control, which is a fairly controversial idea, but he's actually here in Tucson. So
one of the other concerns was that the satellites are interfering with the telescope and the viewing of the rest of the night sky, because these satellites keep interfering with the telescopes.
Yes, and just yesterday SatCon 2 was announced, big meeting coming up in July, online meeting between astronomers and satellite operators and that sort of thing, to look at ways to mitigate the effects of satellite constellations on astronomy. So that's, of course, SatCon 2 implies that SatCon 1 happened last summer, which it did, and you can actually go online and find the reports from that first satellite conference.
Clear as mud.
Am I still on?
Yes.
Perfection Auto Works did the brake job on that Tesla, and that's why it didn't come back down out of the skies like the Chinese.
Oh, is that right? Oh, okay.
That's it. Yeah. The Chinese had, if the Chinese had gotten a free 26-point inspection, they wouldn't have blown their satellite. All right, see you guys.
Thanks, Charles. And we also wanted to give a shout-out to Colin Boyce. He's the chief information officer that is overseeing the community wireless program that gives Tucson residents free Wi-Fi inside your home to qualified households. So we're going to be having more information about that in future shows. It was something that we covered back in December of 2020. We thought that the entire project was scrapped, but apparently it is still up and running. I was actually able to sit down with Colin just a few days ago, and hopefully we'll be able to have more residents get this free community wireless internet. Before we get into our next segment, Rob, what can you tell us about the Unscrewed Theater?
Well, Unscrewed Theater is an improvisational comedy theater here in Tucson. I've been involved with it for many, many years. And right now we are still closed to live performances, but every Saturday night we do an Unscrewed Theater house party online. Admission is free. You can go to our, you have to register in advance because our Zoom license only lets us have 100 devices connected at one time. Mm-hmm. But you go to unscrewedtheater.org and you can register for free there and get your Zoom link to join us for the show and give us suggestions in the chat and have some fun with comedy. And we have online workshops and classes and that sort of thing coming up as well, which you can learn about at the shows and on our website at unscrewedtheater.org.
Unscrewedtheater.org. Excellent. In our next segment here, we're going to go over some notable tech anniversaries for this week. Today is May 8th, 2021. And going back to SpaceX, May 6th, just 2 days ago, in 2002, 19 years ago, SpaceX was founded. So this was, so for those that don't know about SpaceX, it is an aerospace manufacturer and space transportation service. The founder is Elon Musk, and he has the goal of reducing the space travel cost to colonize Mars. That's the idea. So we're going to be seeing more and more news stories about people, private citizens, getting on spaceships and going, taking these travels. There was a guy that took a trip to the moon. There's this other guy that I think he's in Asia somewhere, a billionaire in Asia. Mm-hmm. That is inviting like 8 people to travel with him, and he's going to cover all the costs.
I think that's the Inspiration mission coming up in August or this fall, which Sian Proctor is from Phoenix, and she's one of the astronauts who'll be on that mission.
Wow, excellent. See, these are some of the things that SpaceX is doing, and you know what? They've launched thousands of satellites in constellations, what we talked about before, to allow Starlink, the internet service, to provide satellite internet to a lot of North America and Europe. And basically, these are moving low-orbit satellites that are going to be providing internet. They're talking to each other up there. They're beaming things down to so that we can have fast internet. So a lot of interesting things to come. Also, on May 7th, just yesterday, was the anniversary, 75th anniversary of the Sony Corporation being founded. 75 years ago, it had the grassroots radio repair shop in Tokyo, Japan. That's how it got started. And because of Sony, we now have things like the PlayStation that was released in 1994. Have you ever played PlayStation?
Yes, I have a PlayStation at home. So
which one?
The 4. I have the 4.
Okay, that's the latest one.
The 5 came out, but it's still in short supply, I understand.
Oh, okay, so PlayStation 4 and 5, but I guess it was the PlayStation, was it the 1 or the 360 or the
Xbox was the 360. The Microsoft was the Xbox 360.
Okay. That's how much I know about my video game consoles. But hopefully if we get some more younger listeners, we can have some good conversations about some of these video games. Also, tape recorders. Sony did a lot with tape recording. In 1969, the astronauts on the Apollo 7 were able to take portable cassette tape recorders up with them and listen to pre-recorded music while they're up in space. And they've been on a lot of these missions since Apollo 7. So that's we can thank Sony for that. And also the world's first VCR prototype later on in that same year, 1969. So I don't know how you felt when you first saw the VCR. I know when my dad first got it. Well, we told me and my sisters. We told my dad. I said, "Dad, we could record something off TV and then watch it again.
My parents were early adapters, so we had a Betamax VCR.
Whoa.
From Sony. Yes. So
what year was that?
Oh, it had to be late 70s. I forget what year it was.
Okay. So the VCR prototype, it was a prototype in 1969, but then it probably started getting more released into the 70s. What year do you think the Walkman came out? So the Walkman was also a Sony Marvel.
Is it 81 or 82, somewhere in there?
Earlier, 1979.
Oh, my.
Okay, so we have the Walkman to thank Sony for. Also, May 10th, 1877, President Hayes was the first, he had the first telephone to be installed in the telegraph room at the White House. That was 144 years ago on May 10th. So that's pretty interesting. Before the show, we were wondering, what would the phone number of the President of the United States be in 1877? What do you think his phone number? We already know.
Yeah, we already know. One.
One. That was his phone number. His phone number was one. You would pick up the phone and dial one, and you'd get the President of the United States.
Don't try it now. I've tried that, and it doesn't work anymore.
No. Absolutely not. But that's how early, you know, the infant stage the phone services were at that time.
You think the Vice President was number two?
It was one phone in the White House, so they had this. I guess it was a communications room. So they had the telegraph machine in that room, and they decided to put a telephone in that same room. So no matter where you were in the White House, you'd have to go to the telegraph room to take a call. Maybe the Vice President might have been number two. Maybe he wasn't important enough to have a phone.
I don't know.
You know, but that's interesting. That I didn't know that.
Yeah, who was his Vice President? I don't know. So it must have been that important.
Okay. Well, we'll probably get corrected on it like we usually do. But it's interesting to know President Hoover, some 50 years later, had the phone system upgraded, and he had a phone installed in the Oval Office, a second phone, I guess, in the Oval Office some 50 years later. So that's when, but that's how things started kind of rolling along. Also on May 10th, a little bit earlier, 1869, the Transcontinental Railroad was completed 152 years ago. And the principle is that pulling steel wheels across steel rails lowers the coefficient of friction, pulling more weight with less power. So if you think about at the time, horse and wagons on a dirt bumpy road, it would take more force to pull something half the weight, okay, along land to have a steel wheel, very, very round, on a very steel
on a nice flat surface, you have very low rolling resistance.
Exactly. No rolling resistance. So they quickly, so many things wanted, you know, things started moving faster. Okay. Shipments started moving faster. Lumber, building materials, and all kinds of villages and towns started being built right along the Transcontinental Railroad distance. It's some excellent, excellent history of and technology research, if anybody ever wants to join that. One of the key dates there, again, 1869, May 10th, 1869, that's when the Union Pacific and Central Pacific Railroad companies joined at Proxima Torrey, Utah, because they were building across and they from east to west, and they met their railroads right at that city in Utah.
And it's a good thing one of them wasn't off like 2 feet one way.
Well, I'm sure, you know, you got to give credit to some of these people because they were really, really smart for the time. And obviously, if they saw from a distance, they said, yep, that's off a little bit. Okay, go this way a little bit more. They probably strung string just to make sure that they were going nice and straight. Well, I think that kind of wraps up our show for today. I want everyone to tune in for an upcoming week as a special guest talks about legal issues around having your own website. And some of these things may include legal issues if any part of your website or anything that's published publicly ever becomes, somebody else claims ownership of it. My name is Aaron Moss, your host and technology expert. We have our co-host today, Rob. Thank you for being here. Tom Fairbanks is at the operator, making us sound good. Listen to the Computer Doctor every Saturday at 2 p.m. right here on KVY 1030 The Voice.